Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So we have a very special program for you today, and we are going to talk about Tony Evans and his tithing, false tithing teachings. So we will be going into that shortly. I just wanted to quickly mention, you know, there is a terrible infection going on with some kind of a super bug over there in California, where they, you know, don't believe that they can actually sterilize instruments and get all the germs off. I can't do that, which has been proven in the last few weeks with this super bug. And people have died because they went and they got a scope, something put down their throat, and the thing was infected with a deadly bacteria. So if you're going to go for any kind of a procedure to the dentist or to the doctor, please request disposable instruments. So I just wanted to make you aware of that, and you can help prevent a lot of these things from happening. After they use it on one person, they throw it away. And you won't have to worry about getting a super bug. So I just wanted to do that short commercial. Anyway, hello, Russell.
Good afternoon. Was that a paid commercial or what?
Yes, it's the way you can prevent any deadly thing from invading your body. Oh dear, unbelievable in the day and age we live in. But I guess it's a sign of the times, you know.
Well, they're gonna come a day when there's something that they can't fight with any kind of antibiotics, and then we'll all be up in trouble.
Yeah, we better be trusting God.
Yes.
Yes. So. For our audience that doesn't know you, and you haven't been here for a long time, and I'm so glad and happy that you've joined us today. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
It's been about 2 years, I think.
It's been a long time, yeah. And I love Dr. Russell Kelly's teaching. I love the way he has spent his life studying the Word of God and finding out the truth about tithing. He has a PhD in the subject, so I think that he is very well versed. And I don't think that Dr. Tony Evans has a PhD on the subject.
No, he doesn't. He's got a doctor's degree, but not on that subject of tithing, no.
Yeah. Now, how did you come to have a PhD on the subject of tithing?
Well, it was something that nobody had done one on, and I wanted to be different. So, you know, most of these PhDs out there, there's 1,000 people have done the same subject before.
Yeah.
And it was, I just thought that now was my opportunity. So I
Yeah.
took it.
Yeah. So how did you happen to want to debate Tony Evans, who is a pastor in Texas? And he's quite well known. Maybe some people don't know of him, but He does have a television ministry, and quite a large ministry. So how did you happen to...
Well, we have a mutual friend, Mr. Sundquist, who prods me on this all the time. Every day I get two or three emails from him trying to tell me what else he wants me to say. But he kept prodding me at it, and finally I looked into it, and I said, this guy, someone needs to reply to him. I did a similar thing to T.D. Jakes about 6 months ago.
How did that turn out?
Well, nobody ever replies to me. Nobody ever wants to dialogue with you. Nobody ever wants to defend their position. They've got their bully pulpit, and that's it. That's it. You know, it's their view or no view.
Yeah.
And what bothers me the most about Tony Evans is that he knows better. He has a degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. And Dallas Theological Seminary, I've got quotations here from its founder. I mean, I have a whole chapter in my book quoting its founder, Lewis Ferry Chafer, does not teach tithing. And,
okay.
And for him I'm starting to run into a lot of Dallas graduates who have started to teach tithing. And they of all people, know better. They know the hermeneutics. They know the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. They know, I mean, I'm sitting here reading Tony Evans, and he brags about being an expository preacher. Well, there's not one thing in this diagram on tithing that's expository. It's all here text, there text, everywhere text, you know, like old McDonald had a farm. And it's like I'm talking to a third grader.
Yeah.
These people, he's not expository when he's teaching tithing. If he is in other areas of the Bible, fine. I'm not disagreeing with him in other areas of doctrine. But when he comes to tithing, he forgets what expository preaching is all about and just goes picking text here and there, totally out of context. And
yeah.
It just cuts me to the bone because it's wrong, and he knows it's wrong.
Yeah, well, he likes the M-O-N-E-Y.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
What I
it
want
is.
To do, I've got his outline, and if your listeners want to look at it, they can go Google this outline. It's called Living in Financial Victory. Just Google it, and you can find it on the Internet, on the web. It's a free PDF download. And if they got time, they can follow me right down the line. I'm going to take every statement he makes in this outline, and we'll see how much time we can cover it all in an hour and a half.
Okay.
Does that sound good to you?
Sounds wonderful. I would love it.
So I'm just going to take every statement. I'm going to read his statement, and I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that statement.
Okay.
Are you ready? And you can
I'm ready. Dr. Tony Evans, if you're out there, are you ready? Because
you know,
here we go.
Stand
up and be a man and debate and dialogue with Dr. Kelly. It's for your benefit and for the benefit of your congregation and the kingdom of God.
Maybe he will call in.
Yeah, amen. You're welcome to call in. The call-in number is 914-338-1638. Dr. Tony Evans, you're welcome to call in. Your wife is welcome to call in. Your elders are welcome to call in. Anybody that's listening from his congregation, you're welcome to call in with your questions. So please do.
First statement, I'm quoting Dr. Evans. God has a purpose when it comes to our finances. And he quotes Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now, what he does here, he's quoting Deuteronomy 8:18 for his covenant. Well, just anybody ought to realize he's quoting the old covenant, the conditional covenant, with between God and Israel.
Yeah.
He's not quoting... in his next statement, he will quote Abraham, Genesis 12:2.
Oh, yeah, I love that one. Oh, yeah.
And then he will quote 1 Corinthians 10:16, which is the new covenant. And he throws all of these covenants into the same pot and says, this is God's covenant. Well, that is terrible hermeneutics, to jump to quote three different covenants and then to treat them as if it's the same covenant God made with the church.
Yeah.
He's using the text to say that God's going to give you wealth in doing so, he's establishing his covenant.
Yeah.
Well, the very same chapter, he doesn't quote verse 1, which says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. In other words, to prosper. And he doesn't quote verse 11 that says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So he takes verse 18 out of the context of the whole law. The whole law says if you want wealth and prosperity, you have to keep the whole law, all of the commandments, all of the judgments, all of the ordinances.
Yeah.
And since he does not teach that, he does not teach what verse 1 and verse 11 says, he should not use verse 18 to say, oh, here's God's covenant on how to be wealthy.
Yeah, excellent. That's an excellent point.
Just the first one.
All right.
That's not expository preaching. That's not a hermeneutic. It's just taking verses out of context, and you cannot combine the three covenants and say they all refer to the church.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a form of manipulation.
No kidding. That's exactly what it is. Page two on this outline. God's covenant refers to his kingdom, God's rule over every area of life. Is he saying that God, the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the covenant of law, is still in whole, all effect, or we're supposed to keep all of the commandments, all of the judgments, all of the statutes? Is he saying we're supposed to, you know, in the old covenant, if you cut down a tree, you had to get a bird's nest out of the tree first. In the old covenant, if your house had mildew and you couldn't get rid of it, you had to tear the house down. In the old covenant, you had to offer animal sacrifices.
But yeah, I don't know. They're not doing that one. They don't keep that law anymore.
Well, how can you make a statement that God's covenant refers to every area of life when you're quoting the covenant that has been replaced by the new covenant?
Yeah, that's
the next statement, same page, right. Page two. The kingdom includes what we have that the kingdom says we have rules to follow. Yes. We do have rules to follow, but not old covenant rules. So that's three statements he's made that make no sense. Let me change the page here.
I hope Tony is listening. Tony, come on. Tony.
Anybody call in that wants to ask a question.
Yes, anybody that has a question, please do call in. And I'll repeat the number, 914-338-1638. All right.
Okay, so he quotes 1 Corinthians 10:16. And there he's correct, because that's a new, and it says, 1 Corinthians 10:16 says that blessings come from communion of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. They do not come from obedience to the old covenant given by Moses, is what I comment on that. Does God bless you because you are tithing in obedience to an old covenant law, or does God bless you because you have communion with the blood and body of Jesus Christ? So he gets it right in that text, but he's still mixing that text with the text in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
He takes you out of the law, and then he puts you back into the law.
Yeah, so why do you think that he did that?
Certainly he knows better.
Yeah. Certainly.
I said,
how many
said
years did he have to spend getting this degree that he got?
Well, a bachelor's takes 4 years. A master's degree, he has a master's degree, takes another three, and a doctor of theology takes another three, and a doctor of philosophy, which I have, takes another three after that. He doesn't have a PhD. He's got a TH, a doctor of theology.
Yeah.
But he
so it's 10 years of
no
studying?
There's no hermeneutic that you learn in any seminary that lets you just mix and match the covenants like that and call them all the same covenant.
Yeah.
Page 3. The Bible says, whatever you have been given, make sure you give God his portion first. That's what Tony Evans says.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, whatever you have been given, make sure you give God his portion first. Now, he gives no text. He just says that.
No. Yeah. I never heard that. Can you give me a scripture for that?
The Bible does not say that.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
If I'm a farmer and I go out there I give God the first apple off my apple tree. Is that the best apple on that tree? It also says the first is the best. It's the best. How do I know whether it's the best if it's the first one to come ripe?
Yeah.
If I go harvest a field of wheat and I give God the first bushel of wheat, how do I know that's the best wheat in that field?
What's God going to do with it? What's he going to do with an apple?
But it's not. That's another story. But nowhere does the Bible say that the first fruit is a tithe. They're two different things. In my dictionary, first means first and tenth means tenth.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Nowhere is it the first tenth. When they counted the animals, it was every tenth animal. If you had 25 animals, you would tithe two of them. So it can't be the first tenth.
Yeah.
And it can't be the best tenth. Because you don't know the best when you first harvest that apple or the first tenth animal.
Well, that's true. You wouldn't know till you ate it.
But they teach that, Susan.
It doesn't make any sense.
The tithe is the first fruit, and they teach that the first fruit is the best of the first fruit.
Yeah, the way you just described it, it was so simple. So if anyone is listening, did you see how simple that was to understand and that how that debunks all this first fruit teaching that people have?
They want to call it first fruit for one reason. They want the first 10% of your income before you pay any bills, you write a check to the church.
That's all they're talking about.
They do not care if you have money left over to buy medicine, to buy food, put a roof over your head, to pay utilities. They couldn't care less. They want that first 10% before you pay any other bill.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes God greedy. It makes them greedy.
It's like, what kind of a God are they? What God are they talking about anyway?
Yeah, I don't think
what God is Tony
work.
Evans talking about? He's supposed to know God. He's supposed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the Jesus that he presents to a lost and dying world.
Let me read you a text I've never heard a tithe teacher teach on. It's 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
That's pretty strong.
Now, what does that text tell you a Christian should do with his first income?
Mm-hmm.
To pay your bills. Pay your medical bills. There are, Susan, there are Christians in every town in this country who are either not buying their medicine or cutting their pills in half because they got to pay that tithe. Other they don't want to be cursed.
Well, I know. That's very, very true. Very, very true. I heard a prosperity preacher the other day telling people that, look, if it comes between paying your rent and paying your tithe, you have to pay your tithe first.
They're
your landlord can wait. So be dishonest.
Well, 1 Timothy 5:8 is a New Testament text.
Yeah.
Thing we teach should be found in the pages of the New Testament after Calvary.
Yes.
In other words, it's reapplied to the church.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments, every one of them except the Sabbath commandment, is reapplied in terms of grace. The old law said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. The new law says, if you are a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus, you will not kill, you will not steal, you will not commit. You got a different character.
Yes.
You're a different being. You have different motives. You do it because your nature has changed. And nowhere is tithing taught. Well, it can't be taught anyway because in the Old Covenant, the tithe went to the priests and the Levites, and in the New Testament, all believers are priests. So, well, who are you supposed to bring a tithe to yourself? It just gets so bad.
It's bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. I am praying, and please, listeners, please pray for Russell Kelly, because this man has so much knowledge, and I would love to see him on CNN or Fox News, they just had this tithing debate. I don't know when they had it. They had it on CNN. Now, we need somebody like Russell Kelly. Pardon?
Susan, I watched that CNN thing. That was not a debate. Both people agreed that you should tithe. They just, one didn't call it a tithe.
Yeah. But that's why I want to see you on there. So if they really want to have a real tithing debate, put somebody on there that knows what they're talking about.
Yep. Tell your listeners to write to CNN and ask to get me on there.
Yes, please. That's what I'm asking. If any of you would like to, please call CNN personally and request for the producers of any of those news programs, if you could get a hold of the names of the producers of some of those news programs, call the producers and please request Russell Kelly to be a guest to come on and talk about theology, especially in the area of tithing. I would love to see him get some FaceTime on these networks, because we need to have more people out there on television telling people the truth. So God can work this thing out. He can work it out. So I'm asking you to do that. Please, if you get time, call some of the networks and recommend him to be on. So that's something I would like to do in the future, too, is to produce a documentary for television on the history of tithing and the truth about tithing. And so that's something someday we'd like to do.
I hope we get time to talk about Evans and the curses he puts on people, but let's go on. Page 3, Tony Evans says, be sure to honor Jesus first by... first, that he might have first place in everything. And he quotes Colossians 1:18. Well, if anybody was to read Colossians 1:18, it's not talking about tithing or giving. It's a discussion of Gnostic theology. And he's saying that Christ is the preeminent one. He's not a lesser God. The text he quotes has nothing to do with first fruits or giving or tithing. It's putting Christ first above other gods. So he plays that little game. Let's quote a text. Whether it has anything to do with it or not, it's going to quote it anyway.
So now when he does this teaching, is this his whole teaching that he presents to his congregation?
I don't know why he does it. He's got plenty of texts to other things, if it can't find a text to teach that agrees with him, he shouldn't use it. That's what I don't. It just racks my brain that they keep pulling texts out of context that say nothing about what they're talking about.
Yeah. Nothing. And the thing is, there's a poor little sheep sitting there in the church, and they're just lapping it up. Sitting there like they've been hypnotized or something.
Well, this is one thing that's wrong. When I grew up, everybody had a Bible in their hand, and when a preacher stood up to preach, they would open their Bible. Now
those days
screen.
Are gone for the most
now
part.
Now on the screen, you don't even need you just read it off the screen what he wants
yeah.
to read.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
don't have to read the context.
Yeah, and everybody's got a different Bible, too, so, like, who
yeah.
can follow along?
Okay, page 3. U.S. citizens live under a covenantal document called the Constitution. For citizens living under its realm of influence. Why does he say that? I say, yes, 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 I agree with you wholly, 100%. For Christians, you know, we do have a covenantal document as United States citizens called U.S. Constitution. I said this in your last program. The moment we signed the Declaration of Independence, we were no longer under any English law, good or bad.
Yeah.
We weren't under it. The English law
yeah.
had
yeah.
no relevance. The good or the bad, we later took the good part of it and incorporated into our Constitution. Well, we hear this saying that I am no longer under the law. Well, I got news for you. I never was under the law, the Mosaic law.
Yeah.
As a Gentile, as a Christian, I never was under the law, and therefore I can't say I am no longer under it. Only a Jew can say that.
Yeah.
And Paul, as a Jew, could say that. The law that condemns and convicts the Gentiles in the Old Testament is not the law of Moses. It's the law of nature and conscience. It's written in the heart of every person.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, read Romans chapter 1 and 2. He goes into great detail explaining that.
Yeah.
But when the Gentiles who have not the law, have never heard of the law of Moses, do by nature the things contained in the law, they have not the law, are a law unto themselves, their conscience bearing them witness. Therefore, an Old Testament Gentile, a Roman, a Greek, a Persian, they weren't under the Mosaic law. They were under
yeah.
the law of nature and conscience. And for us to say that, that's just like me going to court and, okay, I've committed a crime in the United States. I'm going to be tried and under German law or Russian law.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says,
yeah.
that's goofy. That makes
yeah.
no sense at all. Well, why are you trying to condemn me under the Old Covenant law that only dealt with Old Covenant Israel?
Yeah. And it only dealt with Israel. Yeah.
They were
yeah.
told, you know, they talk about this thing in Malachi, test me in this.
They love that one. Love Malachi.
Well, here's the error in that. Is God going to bless you because you tithe and yet you're living, shacking up with somebody else? Or
he's obligated. According to them.
According, the entire law was a test. If you keep all of the law, God will bless you. If you break one part of the law, God will curse you. Oh, where's that found? Galatians 3.10. I wish they would look at Galatians 3.10. Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curses is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Ah, in verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yeah.
Tony Evans, I mean, I was listening. He's got two videos out there on YouTube on tithing.
Okay.
And in the video he says, you are wearing stolen clothes, you are driving stolen cars, and you are living in stolen houses because you're not tithing.
Really? What? What?
I'm saying, Tony, here's what I have to say to Tony Evans. Tony, the Old Testament law gave the priest and you are the ministers at the altar 1%. How much are you getting? 1%? If you get more than 1%, are you not stealing from God?
Whoa.
I said, Tommy, the Old Testament says that those who receive the tithe are not to allow to have any inheritance in the land. Tony, do you own property? If so, you are stealing from God. The Old Testament, here's something that people don't realize. Not only were they not to own land, they were supposed to stay poor. You want to show your text?
Yeah.
Numbers 18:20. By the way, Numbers 18 is the chapter on tithing. It is the document itself. If you're going to teach tithing, you have to teach Numbers 18.
Okay.
And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land. That means you cannot own land in Israel. But then he goes on to say, and neither shalt thou have any part among them. In other words, you're not only were they not allowed to own land, they were not allowed to share in their wealth.
Yeah.
Nobody reads that part of the text. Neither shalt thou have any part with them. In other words, not only were they not allowed to own property, they were not allowed to share in the wealth of the rest of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we don't see those prosperity tithing preachers doing that.
No. Let me show you another text that says the same thing. Deuteronomy 26:12-13. This is the third year tithe.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 26:12-13. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithe of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, guess who's listed first among the poor? The Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and unto the fatherless, and to the widow, according to thy commandments. So the poor tithe, the first in line to receive the poor tithe was the Levite. Why? Because God intended for them to be poor.
Yeah.
I don't know what prosperity preachers do with this text, but I know they don't. They probably ignore it.
No, they don't like that one. I think we do have a caller. Let me see here. 501, you have a question, area code.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Afternoon.
You know, can I be real with y'all for a second?
Well,
hello?
We'll see. What is your question?
I mean, I'm going to ask permission. Can you be real? Yes or no? We're not? And that's all good?
Well, let me hear your question.
Never mind.
All right.
We answer all questions.
Yeah, we answer all questions. But anyway, he hung up. Okay. I don't know who that was, but.
Evans, page 3, we mentioned this already. Which biblical principles of stewardship, I say, are you trying to get to? Because you use the word principle. If you watch my debate in the London TV debate,
yeah.
The gentleman that opposed me kept using the word principle. Well,
okay.
What is a principle? And where is the principle laid down? A principle is something that's eternal and moral, or it's not a principle at all, or else it's just in the context of the Old Covenant.
Yeah.
In the Old Covenant, God said, my land is holy. Here's why I'm getting to this. Tony Evans and everybody else quotes Psalm 24:1. It says God owns everything. I don't deny that. God does own everything.
Sure.
But I can use that text to prove their argument wrong instead of use it to prove their argument right. They use that argument and say, well, since God owns everything, everything should be tithable. You know, you should be allowed to tithe off of everything because God owns everything. If that were true, then why did God limit the tithe in the Old Testament while he still owned everything to only the food that comes off of his holy land? So really the argument is it disproves their argument rather than prove it.
Yes, yeah, yes, absolutely.
Otherwise he would not have limited. He would not have said, The tithe can only come from the land, my holy land inside Israel. It cannot come from anywhere else. It cannot come from Gentiles because they're unclean. It cannot come from their land because it's defiled pagan dust. It can only come from food from inside my holy land.
Yeah.
Therefore, quit using Psalm 24:1. It actually disproves your argument. And Tony Evans will quote that verse every time he talks about tithing, Psalm 24:1.
Yeah.
Once again, nobody challenges them. Nobody seems to know the Bible like they're supposed to know. You know, we're all priests before God. Each and every one of us. Nobody should be afraid to stand up to Tony Evans or T.D. Jakes or anybody else.
Amen.
Open the Word of God and ask him a question from him.
And amen. And if they could get to them in person, if they could go to their church and maybe approach one of them somewhere and ask them the question face to face, because obviously they won't answer Russell Kelly, and he has tried to contact both men, and Dr. Evans didn't even have enough courtesy to speak with Russell Kelly himself. Who answered you anyway when you contacted them?
They have just somebody on the staff. He probably never even sees those emails and letters.
No.
Just somebody on the staff. It's sort of like Santa Claus at the North Pole. He don't have time to read all the letters. So he's got his help to read them.
Yeah. He's busy. Busy.
Well, even Elvis did that. He had his gang of 12 or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
They
that's a good model. That's a good model. But that's the thing is, if you happen to bump into TD or Tony, walk up to them if you can and ask them to please explain their tithing doctrines, and take a copy here of this interview, and you could print it out and hand it to them and ask them the questions.
Yeah. Page 6, Tony Evans says, God responded to Cornelius, that's Acts chapter 10, because his prayers were mixed with giving. I do not deny that his prayers were mixed with giving. The Bible says he worshiped God and gave alms. But where does he come up with saying that's the reason God answered his prayer? I mean, he said that's the reason, because he mixed his prayers with giving.
Really? So every time we pray, we have to give an offering?
I mean,
or God doesn't answer our prayers?
What about the woman who crawled through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment and was healed? She may not have anything. Did God answer her prayers?
Yeah. So did she have an offering in her hand?
Yeah. But that's the kind of statement that somebody said, now look, just don't make up stuff. If you can't, if the Bible don't say it, don't make the Bible say it.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember anybody ever going up to Jesus with any shekels in their hand and asked, here, Jesus, here's 10 shekels. You didn't even lay hands on me. I don't think they did that.
Another quotation, page 9. Your tithe reflects and demonstrates a fear of God. He quotes Deuteronomy 14:22, Proverbs 9, and Ecclesiastes 12. When they brought the second and third tithe, it says that you may fear God. That's true. But Tony Evans, up to this point, has been saying that our tithe reflects that we are acknowledging God's ownership of everything. He gets out of Psalm 24:1. That's not true. Now, which is it? Is it because we tithe because we are acknowledging God's ownership of everything, or do we tithe because we fear and honor and respect God? That is true. for the Old Testament Hebrews.
Yeah. They had a lot to be afraid of.
He's giving different reasons now. Instead of, he's not consistent with what he's teaching.
Yeah. New Testament isn't based on fear. We don't have a works religion anymore. You know, we don't sit there, you have to do this and this happens and that. It doesn't work that way anymore. So we don't have to pay God off to do things. Let's see, we have another caller. Let's see if this caller has a question. 240, do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Susan. This is Joan.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I don't have a question, but I just wanted to share. Why won't they just, these quote-unquote teachers, just allow us to live from our convictions? You don't need to tell me how much money I need to give. And I've learned a lot listening to these teachings. And one thing that hasn't changed is my givings. I just give from a different perspective now.
Amen.
I give from the heart. So
yeah.
I haven't changed. I mean, I still give to various ministries. I haven't changed my givings, but I'm not doing it based on the false teaching of giving. You
Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Amen.
And I just think they need to just allow us to live from our convictions and what the Bible clearly teaches instead of trying to manipulate me to determine what I should give.
Yeah.
We're mature Christians. We should know what. Just free will offering. Anyway, I just
Amen.
Want to
Amen. You know, that's the truth, because we give from the heart because we love people, and that's a better way to live. That is a better
Amen.
Way to
Amen.
Live.
Amen.
And God, if these men would only realize, and women would only realize how much better it is to live that way than to live the way they're teaching people to live, how much better the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ would be and how much more effective we would be. So we're on that road to a revolution where we want to see the change. And people like Russell Kelly and many others are heralding that change. So we thank God that we're able to bring this program. And I thank you so much for calling in today. Thank you
okay,
so much. Do you have any other questions for Dr. Kelly?
No, but thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thanks for calling.
Yes.
She raises a good point. The opposite, the other end of that is, if you do give less after hearing a message from me, what was your motive for giving? Fear?
Yeah.
You don't want to be cursed? You weren't giving it out of your heart? If you give less after you hear me teaching, then you were not giving for the right motive. You were giving either to be blessed. By the way, where is this overflowing blessings that you got so many blessings you can't handle it? I haven't seen anybody yet that says they tithe and they got so much they don't know what to do with it. Who's kidding?
You know,
if that were,
is so true, because I was a tither the first 15 years, and I've been saved since 1981. Now, the first 15 years of my Christianity, I tithed, and I was faithful to tithe, and I had times.
And the bank had to tell you to quit putting money in it because they didn't have
any
room.
I'm telling you, I went through some of the worst financial struggles I ever went through. And then when I realized that my giving had to come from my heart, nobody had to know about it, I would just give it. When I saw a need or I felt like blessing somebody. And when we seek first the kingdom, what did God say? It's very
yeah.
simple.
But
He blesses us. He doesn't have to. You know, He doesn't have to.
You know, Mal was written around 400 B.C.
Okay.
Leviticus 27, which is the first biblical definition of the holy tithe, was written about 1,000 years earlier. And yet, 1,000 years after the tithe was first defined, the holy tithe, it's still only food. Bringing all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be money. No, it says food.
Yeah.
The definition has not changed.
No.
For that first 1,000 And fast forward to another 100 years, you're at Jesus saying, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, who you tithe mint and cumin, right?
Yeah. That's what he said. Did he say money?
It's still food.
Yeah.
It has never changed. I read some of the comments on the first time I was on your website, and one gentleman got mad at me. He kept saying, quit saying that food wasn't used for money. I said, no, I never denied that food was not used as barter to buy and sell stuff. I never denied that. What I said was that the tithe was always only food. Yes, food can be used for money, but the tithe was never money.
Yeah, so now take Jesus, for instance. There was Jesus, and Jesus, he came from heaven. He was God on the earth. So now, do you think that God on the earth would have said, well, you know, you have to come over here? Do you think that Jesus would have said it, right? That you have to come over here to the temple and bring 10% of your money? Wouldn't he have said that?
You think so?
Yeah.
If Jesus,
I think he would have said it, being Jesus.
If Jesus was required to teach tithing, though, because the law was still in effect, if Jesus had not taught tithing, he would have been a sinner. Because this is before Calvary, the law was still in effect. But Jesus could not have taught his disciples to bring tithes to him. He could not have taught his... I mean, imagine those 3,000 people and 4,000 people that he fed. Imagine if they had brought their tithes to him, how much money he would have had. Nobody thinks of that through.
No! I mean, that is a great point.
He could not teach the Gentiles to bring. Jesus tells his Gentile converts to tithe. Are they going to go to the temple and give it to the temple? No, they wouldn't accept them. I'm not going to take a tithe from you. You're a Gentile. The Roman money had pictures on it, pictures of the Caesars and the rulers.
Yeah.
They couldn't allow anything with image into the temple, so that alone ends that.
Oh, wow.
When you throw a dollar bill in the offering plate, it's got an image of George Washington in it.
Uh-huh.
Our church will accept it, but that anything with an image on it would not have gone into the temple free will offering, the tithe, or anything else.
Oh, that is excellent. That's an excellent point. I never thought about that one. So actually, that really debunks that whole thing that they were bringing money to the temple.
Jesus said, whose image is on it? They said, Caesar's. He said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Yeah, he didn't say, and by the way, don't forget my pence.
Yeah. Okay, next statement, page 9. As a descendant of Abraham, you are to follow the spiritual principle of tithing. That's what Evan says. And I say, what? Has he read it? Am I supposed to follow everything Abraham did? Was everything Abraham did an example of me as a Christian to follow? Oh, that means I can tell people that my wife is my sister and let Pharaoh have her for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then run off and have a kid with the handmaiden. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But Abraham was not a perfect man, except in his faith in God. How much of the tithe did Abraham keep? None. He gave the tithe to Melchizedek. Okay, how much of the 90% did he keep? None. He gave it to the king of Sodom. Why is Tony Evans teaching that I'm supposed to follow Abraham's example when Abraham gave 90% to the king of Sodom and kept nothing? It don't work that way.
Oh, now they love that one. They love that story. They love that whole story. Oh, they love that story of Abraham and Melchizedek. They love that story.
Okay, you know why? Because it's before the law.
Yeah.
In the first place, the Bible does not tell us why Abraham tithed. It does not say God told him to. It does not say Abraham chose to freely. It doesn't tell. It leaves that out. So
yeah.
If I'm going to follow Abraham's example, first of all, it's all right to tithe pagan spoils of war. It's all right to tithe, to give 90% of your tithe to the king of Sodom, or in our day, I guess, a witchcraft coven. It's all right to tithe only once. See, it makes no sense.
No, no!
Oh,
dear. That's great.
Moses never quoted Abraham or Jacob as an example of tithing. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. Neither did Jesus.
No.
It just doesn't work.
It would have to come from Jesus. It would have to come from him.
Well, when Jesus is teaching tithing in Matthew 23:23, he specifically said it's matters of the law we're discussing. Matters of the law. And when they quote that verse, most tithe teachers leave out those three four words, matters of the law. They'll quote the whole verse and leave out matters of the law. Matters of the law. Okay, here's another statement. It gets worse. Tony, somebody needs to turn them over to his knee because they're laughing. Just give them a good old spanking. Tony Evans says, tithing started with Abraham and continues into the priesthood of Jesus. Two comments. First, the first comment, he said, tithing started with Abraham. You will not find a Bible commentary, a Bible dictionary, any reference book on tithing that says that. They all start off by saying tithing was practiced around Mesopotamia before Abraham's time. So that statement is wrong, that tithing started with Abraham. Abraham came from Babylon. If you look up, the god of Babylon was called Baal. And if you lived on holy land owned by Baal, you had to pay a tithe to Baal. Off of that holy land. So there's nothing new there. And then he says, it continues unto the priesthood of Jesus. Well, actually, the priesthood of Jesus ended tithing. The only time tithes are mentioned in the New Testament after Calvary is Hebrews chapter 7. The only time tithes are mentioned in the New Testament after Calvary is Hebrews chapter 7. Now, the story goes. In verse 5, it says, For the priests have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Therefore, he establishes what he's talking about. The law refers to the law of tithing. And verse 12 says, For the law being changed, there is a necessity. For the priesthood being changed, there is of necessity a change also of the law. The priesthood was changed from Aaron to Jesus. Aaron was a Levite. The Levites were to take tithes. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. And he says, of which tribe? Moses spoke nothing. There's no legitimization or validation of somebody from Judah receiving tithes in the law. So if Jesus is the type of Melchizedek from the tribe of Judah, then the law did not authorize anybody from Judah receiving tithes. And then verse 18 is a capper. It says, having therefore abolished the commandment going before because of its weakness. The commandment going before in Hebrews 7:18 is the commandment in verse 5 where it says the priesthood have a commandment according to the law to receive tithes. Therefore, Hebrews 7:18 clearly, in the context of the whole chapter, clearly states that when the priesthood was changed, tithing was abolished.
Yeah.
So Tony Evans has missed that one too.
Yeah. Amazing.
Not too many callers today, or are they just afraid to call in?
Well, I would love for them to call in. I would love somebody for they know they were aware that this program was happening today. And because our brother
Where's
Jim Sundquist emailed the people there at the ministry, so they were quite aware of this program, and they probably will listen. Somebody probably will listen. You'd be surprised.
Another quote, page 9. The spiritual principle of tithing as a means of fearing God carries into the church age. And he quotes 1 Peter 2:17. And 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So where does 1 Peter 2:17 say anything about God, the tithing?
Well, I didn't hear it.
Does every time the Bible says fear God, does that refer to tithing? I doubt it, but that's what he's trying to grab onto. This is like the fourth time he's quoted a text that has nothing to do with what he's saying.
Yeah, well, he's indoctrinating them into that fear thing. You better be afraid of God. You know, give him his money.
Okay, back to page 9. Withholding your tithe robs God of what is rightly his. And he quotes Malachi 3:8.
Mm-hmm.
He quotes Malachi 3:8. I don't see how much time we got. We got an hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, you could go over. It won't be live, but you could go over.
Yeah.
And it'll be archived.
And a couple of years ago, I had the article printed, and now I forgot where I put it. The Southern Baptist, Tony is a Southern Baptist. He's the editor of the Southern Baptist Sunday School book.
Oh.
And this coming Sunday, the Southern Baptist Sunday School book is on Nehemiah 10, and he just completely flies past the verse that totally disagrees with him in this week's Sunday School lesson.
Well, how did you do that? How did he manage to do that?
Well, I don't know. I've got it in front of me. We're going to look at it in just a minute. If your listeners will, turn to Nehemiah 10.
Okay.
Let's give them a minute. Talk about something else. Nehemiah 10:29.
Okay, because I'm going to go there myself. So I'm going to go there too, to Nehemiah 10. And if you have a computer, you can go to a website like Crosswalk. That's the one I usually use when I'm looking up a scripture. And we can pull up Nehemiah 10. Nehemiah 10.
Verse 29.
Okay, verse
29. Nehemiah 10 is important because this is Malachi's audience.
Okay.
Nehemiah and Malachi are addressed to the same people. They're ruled under the Persian Empire by Nehemiah. So it's just, if you read Nehemiah, you can also read Malachi at the same time. It's the same events.
Okay.
So they claimed to the brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses. Pretty clear, ain't it? The servant of God, and to observe to do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his judgments, and his statutes. In other words, the whole law, all three parts of it. Not just the Ten Commandments, the whole law. So Malachi's audience had entered into had renewed the old covenant, and especially the part of the curse. If you break any part of the old covenant, you are under a curse. Now, fast forward to verse 35. He's going to talk about tithe first fruits.
Okay.
Verse 35. And to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. Okay, where did the first fruits go to? The house of the Lord. You got that?
Yeah.
Verse 36. Also the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks to bring where? To the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of God. Where do you bring your first fruits? Out the temple. Where do you bring your firstborn? The temple, right? Verse 38 says, that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of our oil unto the priest, to the chambers of the house of our God. Stop. Is that clear?
Yes.
The first fruits, the firstborn, the first dough, the first thing you squeeze, all goes where? To the temple, to the priest. Now, the second half of verse 37 changes. And the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, where? Where? That the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. Where were the tithes brought? According to 37b, to the cities, not to the temple.
That's very true. Now, is there any verse in the Old Testament where the tithe was brought to the temple?
I'll tell you that. I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Verse 38 says, and the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes. That is, the Levites together will be in the cities of Judah as the people brought the tithe to the cities of Judah. And the Levites shall bring the tithe of the tithe, that's the tenth, the 1%. In other words, God said, okay, I'll tell you that then. The tithe of the tithe unto the house of God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. Okay, according to verse 38, those who were responsible for bringing the tithe to the temple were the Levites, not the people. You got me?
Yeah.
Now flip over to Nehemiah 13.
Okay.
I hope somebody's following us, because this is going to shock somebody. 13:4.
Okay.
13:4. And before this, Eliashib, he's the high priest, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah. Tobiah is a Samaritan. Eliashib is the high priest. Now, what does Eliashib do? Verse 5. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, wherein aforetime they had laid the meat offerings and the frankincense and the vessels and what? The tithe of the corn, the new wine, the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offerings of the priests. Now, there was not a huge silo in Jerusalem at the temple to hold the tithe. Not even in Solomon's temple. There was never built any huge building in the temple to hold tithes, because the tithe was always brought to the Levitical cities. The only part of the tithe that was brought to the temple was the Levites and the priests rotated once. They had 24 courses or 24 families, and every 24th week they would go serve a week at the temple. And according to this, as they were going to serve their week, the Levites brought something to eat from their tithes, and they also brought the tithe for the priest to eat while they were there. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You live what, South Florida? You don't have to tell me the city.
Yeah.
The capital of Florida is Tallahassee. Let's say everybody in Florida brought their tithes to Tallahassee, and you were a priest living in Tampa or Fort Lauderdale, and every time you got hungry, you had to go to Fort Tallahassee to get that tithe. Does that make sense?
No.
Well, why do they say that you're supposed to bring the tithe? They get Malachi.
Bring all the tithes into the storehouse.
Yeah, okay, we're going to get there. Everybody turn to Malachi 1. We're going to finish up with Malachi.
This
is something that I'm going to force your listeners to actually read the book of Malachi.
Yeah, actually read it. I know. I was amazed when read it, because I only read Malachi 3:10 for most the beginning of my Christian life.
Go to Malachi chapter 1.
Okay. Malachi chapter 1.
Tell us if I can't find Malachi, find Matthew and go back. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 is addressed to whom? Read it.
Okay.
Read verse 1. Who's addressed to?
Israel. To Israel.
Is it addressed to the church? Is it addressed to Gentiles? It's addressed to Israel.
Yeah.
Now go down to verse 6. God changes who is he talking to. verse 6, Malachi 1:6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, what? O priest, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Beginning in verse 6, the rest of the book of Malachi, with two verses excepted, we'll get to it. Beginning in verse 6, every time the pronoun you occurs in Malachi, it's the priest. Not the people, the priest. Not the people. Oh, but how can you say that? Let's go on then, okay? Is not the word you in verse 6 referring to the priest?
Yes.
Can anybody disagree with me there? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest. All right, verse 7. You offer polluted bread upon my altar. Who's he talking to? Who does that? The people don't. He's talking to the priest, right?
Yes.
And you say, where have we polluted thee in that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible? Verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, who is he talking to? In verse 8.
The priest.
Tony Evans said he's talking to the people. When Tony Evans reads Malachi 1:8, the people are bringing God the leftovers. Tony Evans over and over says verse 8 is talking about the people, and I said that's not what the Bible says. The people brought the best to the Levites. I mean, the tithe to the Levites. And the Levites brought the best of their 10% to the priests. So the priests had herds. They lived on the Levitical seed. They had land. They were farmers. They had, but it wasn't their land. They were on loaned out land. And they had good animals and bad animals. And instead of offering the good animals, they were bringing the lame. So God, verse 8 says, if you offer to the blind the sacrifice, is that not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is that not evil? Offer it now to thy governor and see if he'll take it. Verse 9. And now, I pray you, beseech God that he will be glorious. Unto us, this has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord. Now, he's still talking to the priest.
Yeah.
Drop down to... Keep on looking. You was always a priest. Verse 12.
Okay.
But you have profaned it, you priest, in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted. You're still talking the priest. Verse 13. You priest, said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and you have sniffed at it, saith the Lord, and God. So 13's a priest. 14. Still talking to the priest, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreaded among the heathen. Is he still talking to the priest? Yes. And what's he done? He's cursed the priest. By the way, the priests were not supposed to tithe. They gave free will offerings. Because that last tenth of the tithe was given theoretically to the Lord. The Lord don't tithe to himself. So you can say, Tony Evans, you don't have to tithe if you are a priest, an Old Testament priest. But you can't own land or property or get rich either.
Yeah. Well, they do a good job of that.
Continue chapter 2.
Okay.
And just in case there's any doubt, who is he still talking to? And now, who is he talking to? Oh, ye priests. This commandment is for you. That's what he's still talking to the priest.
Yeah.
If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord, I will even set a curse unto you. That's the second time curse is used. And I will curse your blessings. The third time curse is used. I have cursed them already. Four times the word curse occurs in chapter 1, 14, and 2, 2. Four times. And it's the power of being cursed. How can you deny that? In chapter 2, verse 17, he's still talking to the priest.
Yeah.
Verse 4:13, he says, you priests are covering the altar with your tears. The people didn't do that. And the priest has got a question in the chapter, in verse 17. In chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, God is answering the priest's question by saying he's going to come and cleanse the priesthood.
Well, wait a minute. What about verse 3?
Not one time as he talks, he's not talking to the people. And everybody looks, look at verse 6, he's talking to the people now. He said, I changed not. And he said, ye sons of Jacob, well, priests were sons of Jacob also. That don't mean he's talking to all of the sons of Jacob. And there, verse 9 says, you are cursed with a curse. Why would he be cursing the priest in four times and now all of a sudden feeling sorry for him? I contend that Malachi 3, 7, 8, and 9 are still addressed to the priest. They had robbed God. They were cursed. It says, this whole nation of you, that means every priest in the nation. Verse 9. And it's the priest that we just read who took the tithe out of the storeroom and made the Levites go home in Nehemiah 13, 5. The priest had stolen from God. They had stolen the tithe that belonged to the Levites, and the Levites had gone home. That's Nehemiah 13, 10. So when Malachi 3:10 says, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, he's telling the priest to bring it back because they had taken it out. He's not even talking to the people.
No. No.
Any questions? Do we have any callers?
Let me see. Let me go back to the studio. If anybody does have a question, the call-in number is 914-338-1638. And you're welcome to call. And if you have a question about anything that we've read so far, and if anybody's out there from Tony Evans Ministry, we'd especially love to hear from you. And will you please place a copy of this interview into Tony Evans' hands? And we would like him to respond. He's welcome to respond. Now, if Tony Evans would like to respond to you, Russ, how can he do that?
Well, my email is russkellyphd@yahoo.com. That's russkellyphd@yahoo.com. My website is tithing-russkelly.com. That's tithing-russkelly, R-U-S-S-K-E-L-L-Y.com. And I will be more than happy to answer you. I wish
yes.
The tithe teachers would do that. They won't answer anybody.
Eventually they will have to answer, because I am challenging my listeners again today that if you happen to be in the Dallas area, you can go to T.D. Jakes Church, you can go to Tony Evans Church and approach them with documentation or with a question and ask them the question face to face. So if I was in that area, I would do it. I'm not anywhere near Texas at the moment, but if you are in that area, please ask them the questions. I encourage you to do so.
But he acts like he's speaking for the entire Southern Baptist Convention, which he's not. A couple of years ago, they took a survey, and 24% of their own pastors said they do not teach tithing.
Wow.
That's one. And when I hear that, I said, where are they? I've never run into any of them.
Yeah, exactly.
In their own survey, in their own magazine, 24% of Southern Baptist teachers said they do not teach tithing. Now,
well, when it comes to the Southern Baptist Convention, now who's the head of it?
Do they have a head?
But
each church is supposed to be independent in its theology.
I see. So then they don't oversee the theology.
Well, they have a booklet called The Faith and Method, and the word tithe did not even occur. It still don't occur The word tithe does not occur in a little, it's a little orange pamphlet they hand out called the Baptist Faith and Methods. Tithing texts themselves, you know, Genesis 14:20, Malachi 3:8-10, Matthew 23:23, those texts themselves did not occur in the faith until 1963. So the four editions that preceded that, I think there's four, did not even list the text for tithing, much less teach it. I just, you know, there are Southern Baptist leaders across the country that oppose, that agree with me. The one at Kostenberg in North Carolina is one of the greater leaders. But I have a list in my website of major theological leaders across the country. And supposedly Dallas Theological, they're not Southern Baptists, but Dallas Theological Seminary and Moody Bible Institute, and in California, Talbot School of Theology and John MacArthur's school there, they don't teach tithing. So there's a lot of major conservative schools that don't teach tithing. And Martin Luther didn't teach it, and not back in 1525. He said, Moses doesn't tell me what to do. You know, I'm not under Moses, and I'm not going to teach tithing because it's not taught in the Bible after Calvary.
Yeah, that's amazing that he would even mention it back then.
The whole sermon is on my website.
Okay.
If you go to tithing-ruffkelly.com, look under Martin Luther, 1525, the entire sermon is dealing with what do we do with the law of Moses. And he said, unless it's repeated in the New Testament, like I said, the hermeneutic is, unless it's repeated in the New Testament after Calvary in terms of grace, it does not carry into the New Testament.
Yeah.
And you can't play wishy-washy and reach back. Oh, I want to take this out of the Old Testament and bring it over and this and this, but I'm going to leave most of it behind. You're either under all the law or none of the law.
Amen. Amen.
Well, they like to quote Matthew 5:17. Oh, think not I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets, I'm not come to destroy or to fulfill. And then he says, there shall not. But then he says, not one jot, that means one little dot or tittle, that's the crossing of a T, shall pass from the law until it all be fulfilled. Okay, what do you do with that text? That's Matthew 5:18. Not one jot, one little dot, or one little tittle, crossing of a T, shall pass from any of the law. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the entire Old Covenant law, all 600 plus, all of the commandments, all of the judgments, all of the statutes. Jesus said not one dot or tittle shall pass until. We're either under all of it or none of it. If they don't understand that verse 21 says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall all lie. He's telling the righteousness of the law was fulfilled by Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
We are dead in Christ. And Paul says in Romans 7, you are dead in Christ. How can a law tell a dead person what to do?
Amen to that one. Yeah.
I mean, where in the world are these people? How do they teach Romans? How does Tony Evans teach Romans? There's now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To what? Not, you know. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
The law, it doesn't say the law of Moses. It says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That's the Holy Spirit dwelling within believers, guiding us into God's truth. And, you know, we talk about principles again. C.S. Lewis wrote a book, Mere Christianity.
Yeah.
And he went out to disprove, he set out to disprove Christianity. And he went into the tribes of Africa and, you know, darkest Africa in South America. And he realized everywhere he went, they had a morality. It may have just been within that tribe, but it was against the law to commit adultery and steal and kill and within that, you know, that culture.
Yeah.
And he realized that all of the Ten Commandments except the Sabbath are known by nature and conscience. because that's the law that of conscience and nature that that is within every man. It's that's what you call a principle. It's found within every person. But the Sabbath, which day of the week to worship on, and tithing, how much to give, are not written in our heart. I don't know innately. It has to be special revelation. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not innate within us, it's not a divine, moral, eternal principle. God tells you to give. He doesn't tell you how much to give. God tells you to worship. He doesn't tell you when to worship. That has to come by special revelation. And an eternal moral principle is not given by special revelation. You know it already.
Yes, amen. Amen. So true. We're supposed to know that, but yet it's kind of now when people go to church, they go backwards. Instead of going forwards and enjoying their freedom in Christ Jesus, they go back into bondage. And these teachers and these preachers like to hold them there because they've got them captive. They have these captive audiences, and they just keep milking them for money. They've done an excellent job of it.
But I want to go back because we're about to run out of time. So what Tony Evans said in that tithing video is on YouTube.
Okay.
He said, if you're not tithing, you are wearing stolen clothes, driving stolen cars, and living in stolen houses. And I want to point the finger right back in his face. If you're going to teach that kind of tithing, then you are only allowed to receive 1% of the tithe. You cannot own property. You cannot gain wealth because that's the rest of the tithing law. You cannot pull one thing out of the tithing law and make it apply to a New Testament Christian and throw the rest of it away. If you're going to teach tithing, you better teach 23% because there were three separate tithes in the Old Testament. You can't just teach 10%.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to live among the poor, give up his possessions, not own property, and, you know, deal with. It goes even worse than that because if you read Chronicles, the tithe during the times of the kings of Israel was controlled by the federal government.
Yeah,
it was a federal tax.
Yeah.
I want to read two verses before we stop. First Chronicles 26:30-32. Chronicles 26:30-32. And of the Hebronites, Hashablah and his brethren, men of valor, 1,700 were officers among them of Israel on this side Jordan, westward in all the business of the Lord. You ready? And in the service of the king. They were paid. The tithe was a tax under the kings, and the Levites and the priests, half the day they would serve the Lord in the temple, and the other half would serve as judges and all. And verse 32 says, and his brethren, men of valor, were 2,700, their chief fathers, whom King David made rulers over the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh for every matter pertaining to God and after affairs of the king. So there's proof positive that under the kings of Israel, the tithe was collected and redistributed by the federal government, the kings of Israel. And a lot of that money was used to a lot of those Levites who actually were rulers and judges over the other tribes.
Yes.
But nobody ever reads Chronicles. Oh, that's what them Old Testament books are, which don't make sense. I tell you, sit down and read 1 Chronicles chapter 23, 24, 25, and 26 one day, and you'll come out with it. You're shaking your heads because it goes through all the occupations that the Levites and the priests had other than working in the temple.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I mean, some of the priests were generals of the army. They were priests, paid for with tithes, money, and they were army generals.
Yeah.
Why don't we...
Go ahead.
That's it.
Well, James Sundquist is in the chat room, and he said to tell our listeners where and when they can hear this archive show. So we will tell you that the show will be archived on Blog Talk Radio, Prophetic News, and also I will be putting it up on YouTube, my channel, Greedy Preachers TV, my new channel, and
okay.
I also have Susan Puzio channel. But Russ, I know that you have some videos on YouTube. Would you tell our listeners where and what some of those videos are? And I know you had one from Revelation TV and from England.
Yes, just go to YouTube under the search engine and put Tithing the Bait Revelation TV, and you'll find one of them.
Okay.
It's 90 minutes long. And the other is my essay, which I have greatly revised lately, clarified some things I weren't clear on. It's the essay is really worth looking at, and if I'm wrong, surely somebody could find an error in one of those 20 points. Just refute one of them, you know.
Yeah.
They want you to do that. It's Tithing Essay Russell Kelly.
Okay.
Essay by Russell Kelly. But if you go on to YouTube and just hit tithing, if that's all you do is go to YouTube and hit and start scrolling down, you will see me on there 6 or 8 times.
Yeah.
You'll see the Revelation lecture, and you'll see the essay on there.
Yeah, but Russ was on television in London, England, doing a kind of a debate, which the person he was debating wasn't really debating, but at least they did it on this so-called Christian network there in London. So that was very interesting that they did invite you. But before we close the show, don't forget now, I am believing God to, in the future, produce a documentary for television on the subject of tithing, the history of tithing, and we are... we believe God, if he would wants that to happen, that it will happen and that it will get picked up somewhere out there in TV land. Because we have to have a way of counteracting, thank God for the internet that we can counteract these false teachings and bring these things to light. But we also want you to remember that you have to go and visit these people if you're nearby them and confront them personally. So is there anything you want to close with, Russ?
Well, let me make one statement and then close with a prayer.
Yeah.
I said this, CBS Sunday Morning came out to my house and they did a show on it, To Tithe or Not to Tithe by CBS Sunday Morning. And in that, they showed that nationwide, a couple of years ago. And in that, I made a statement, and I still hold to that statement. There is not one single thing taught for New Testament tithing today that is biblical. Not even one. They redefine the word. They apply it wrong. Not one single thing you hear taught for Christian tithing is biblical in context of the New Testament. It's none of it. Not one of them. It just blows my mind that people, that educated people with degrees, many degrees, can go out and they must do it on purpose because it takes a lot of ignorance not to know anything about tithing.
Oh, a lot of ignorance. Yeah, a lot of ignorance.
I'm getting more people ask me, do they do it deliberately? I'm getting the point. They have to.
They have to.
They have to. They can't be that stupid.
No. No.
I don't know. Well, let's close with prayer.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, use Susan and James and myself to help finish the Reformation, to get us into a New Testament theology in the church. Lord, our churches are emptying out. They're closing down every day because of the legalism pushed in them. Lord, help us have a desire to lead souls to the Lord. Help us to find a way to stop pushing people out of the churches because They feel inadequate because they can't put the money in the offering plate. Oh, seek and save the lost, Lord, at any cost. And just, I pray for a great revival in this land. Bless us. We need your blessings so much. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Oh, amen. Yes, Lord. Help us to finish the Reformation. And, Russell, play, before we hang up, let's, would you say a prayer, please, for all the unsaved people that might be listening today?
Father, I pray that, I know the hour and a half was not aimed at lost people, but Lord, I pray for those who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, that you may touch them. I pray that those who have stopped attending church because of tithing, Lord, be with them in a special way. Help them seek fellow Christians that love you and are seeking you with all their heart. We just pray for salvation, because we can understand all the prophecy and all of tithing and all this stuff and still be lost without Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Oh, work a miracle in that area. Touch hearts. Work miracles. Save. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate it so much, Russ, and I would like to have you back again in the future. I would like to do that program on Israel and your dispensational theories and beliefs with somebody from the opposite position. I think that would make an interesting debate to go over the scriptures. And
are we still on the air?
Yeah. Well, we're recording. It's not live now, but it is recording. For it'll be on the archive.
I also want to do one for you on Seventh-day Adventism.
Yeah, I want that. Yeah, yeah.
And I hope we can meet the first week of May sometime. I'll be down in the Tampa, St. Pete area.
Okay, and I would love that. So I'll be in touch with you. So the sooner the better. But that would be terrific.
Okay.
And so we'll see what happens from this one. Hopefully we'll hear from someone from Tony Evans' ministry, if not Tony himself.
All right, that'd be great.
All right, thank you so much for coming on. God bless you, dear brother. All right, everybody, thank you so much for everything today. Thank you for coming into the chat room. Thank you for listening. Remember, Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord, and he said you must be born again. First, you're born again of your mother. Then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and give you a brand new life. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. You'll never be sorry when you give your life to Jesus and he gives you a brand new life. That's something that you will never regret, because truly it is a wonderful life. God bless you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.